Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast. Once again, in the studio on a wild night with Jen and Joe.
Wild and crazy tonight.
So how does it feel to go back to work?
Bleah.
I know.
I'm so exhausted. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted, mentally drained, and I don't feel good. So this is going to be a really exciting podcast.
Did you catch what I have?
No, I just my body aches all over from all the stress. I can't take it no more. Oh. I'm done. I don't want to live stressed out. Now, Mo.
You need a Reiki healing. I've got the rake out back.
Rake it over.
I'll beat you with a rake.
You know what? I think I'd probably feel better if you did. It would feel much better. All those fun things.
You know, we talk about disappearances. I found in the Hugh Dunnett Crime Consortium.
Bum, bum, bum.
9-year-old girl disappears using cream that makes you look 10 years younger. A 9-year-old girl disappeared after trying moisturizing cream that makes her look 10 years younger. Suffolk police are now searching for Lily Fisher, who has been last seen in her bedroom on Friday night. Word mom, Lorraine, 34, was surprised the cream worked.
I need some. I got some wrinkles I need to.
Police say Lily has been given the cream for her birthday and was keen to try it out. She wiped the moisturizer all over her face and lost 10 years instantly. Police spokesman says, "We are appealing for everyone to keep an eye out for Lily. When the cream wears off, she will reappear again."
Did she go back in her mom's womb or something?
I don't know. But it was on the internet, so it has to be true.
Oh, good grief. Speaking of Lily.
Yeah.
We have a really interesting topic today. We're talking all about would you call it a demon, an entity?
Demon or deity?
A deity. Lilith.
A lot of people talk about Lilith. A lot of people talk about her as different ways, too.
Mm-hmm. It's weird because, this topic of her has been coming up a lot lately. I don't know. I've had like 3 people mention it to me. So
oh, really?
I thought, yeah, it's interesting. So is she a seductress, a heroine, or a murderer? This is the question we're being asked. So for 4,000 years, Lilith has wandered the earth, figuring in a mythical type way. Her origins started in the Babylonian demonology, where amulets and incantations were used to counter the sinister powers of the winged spirit who preyed on pregnant women and infants. So Lilith kind of migrated into the world of ancient Hittites, Egyptians, Greeks, Israelis, and made one appearance in the Bible.
Yeah. That's what's interesting, too, as often as they talk about her, it only comes up once in the whole Bible.
But is this the modern Bible?
Well, there's different versions. Like in the King James Version, they don't mention her, but they mention her as the screaming owl.
It's interesting because I thought, you know, there's been so many different versions of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, that clearly the Vatican has struck things out of some of the records. Mm-hmm. Who knows what could be in their archives that they've even kept or destroyed. Mm-hmm. You know, we would never know if it was destroyed. But I think there's a lot more to the story than what's in the one mention of what's in the Bible.
Well, okay, so let's start from the beginning of a lot of people assume her as Adam's first wife.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of another 222
reference,
but in Genesis 1:27, okay, we'll start there. It says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. The male and the female created them." So basically, it says that it's known that God has created the man and the woman from clay, okay, in Genesis 1:27. So scholars have said that he created the man and the woman at the same time, but the first woman, who they consider Lilith, wanted more independence didn't want to be subservient and stuff.
That's right.
Well, it's just wrong.
it's not wrong. It's right.
But so he cast her out, turned into a demon. And then in Genesis 2:22, then the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. So in Genesis 2:22, he's basically saying that instead of making Adam and Eve at the same time, he made Adam first, and then Adam was lonely,
mm-hmm.
which he would be the only man on the whole earth. So he took God took one of his ribs and made a woman out of him so mm-hmm. that she was a part of him and had to be more subservient.
Well, that's...
Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's supposed to be, folks.
Yep. Yep.
You have to remember that Genesis was written by two different authors.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them actually wrote it up two different ways. Genesis 1:27 was wrote by one, and Genesis 2:22 was wrote by the other.
That's interesting. The first earliest surviving mention of Lilith's name appears in Gilgamesh and the Hulupu'utu tree, a Sumerian epic poem that's found on a tablet at Ur and dating from approximately 2000 BCE. Which I think is before Christ's,
yeah.
Christ,
mm-hmm.
the mighty ruler Gilgamesh, who was literally the world's first hero, he had boldly slayed monsters and searched for the secret to eternal life. So in one of the episodes or, you know, writings, it says, after heaven and earth separated and man had been created, he rushes to assist Inanna, a goddess of erotic love and war. In her garden near the Euphrates River, Inanna lovingly tends to a willow.
Yeah, the story goes that she plants a willow tree so that she can later build a throne and a bed for herself. So 10 years later, she returns to the tree to find three different things taking up residence in the tree. Along the roots is a serpent. On the top of the tree is a bird.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the center of the tree is what they call a Lilith, which is a female demon. Gilgamesh kills the snake,
mm-hmm.
and the other two rush off into the forest.
So it's another mention of her. There was a discovery of a wall plaque made of limestone in 1933 in Syria, and it contained a horrific mention of Lilith. It probably hung in the house of a pregnant woman and served as an amulet against Lilith, who had believed to be lurking at the door and figuratively blocking the light. One translation reads, "O you who fly in the darkened rooms, be off with you this instant, Lilith, thief, breaker of bones." Presumably, if Lilith saw her name on the plaque, she would fear and quickly depart.
Yeah, she's also known as a creature that goes through the woods, taking children and killing the unborn children in the mother's wombs. Okay, so Lilith also has been known everything from the devil's wife,
mm-hmm.
the mother and child, or a human turned demon, and also, like we mentioned before, as, you know, Adam's first wife. The word Lilith comes from a Hebrew pronunciation of Lili. Probably has relations to the more common name of Lila,
mm-hmm.
or the Arabic word Lilil, which are Semitic words for the night. She's also been known as the owl,
mm-hmm.
of the night. Most likely, it's shortened version of the Sumerian word. Now, I'm probably going to kill this, but it's Kai Sekel Lil La Ki.
It wasn't bad, knowing the way we pronounce
and,
words.
You know, as you mentioned before, the known also as the night demon of the third millennial BC.
Yeah. So, you know, there was a resurfacing of her name when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran. The Qumran sect was engrossed with demonology, and Lilith appears in the Song for a Sage, a hymn possibly used in exorcisms. And this is kind of a quote from it. It says, "I, the sage, the sound of majesty of his beauty to terrify and confound all the spirits of destroying angels and the bastard spirits, the demons, Lilith, and those that strike suddenly to lead astray the spirits of understanding to make desolate their hearts. So it's saying here that, you know, it's kind of a sketchy characterization of Lilith, but it's interesting that, you know, they're finding these Dead Sea Scrolls that depicted mm-hmm. the time of around the time that Jesus was born, mentioning her again.
Yeah. Well, like we said before, the only time that it is the name Lilith comes up in the Bible is one time, and that's in Isaiah 34. Now, this is kind of interesting, though, but it's listed in Isaiah 34, 11, 13, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of structures out the story of Lilith, and basically it prophesizes the destruction of the kingdom of Edom, saying it would become a desolate, overturned kingdom not worthy of any life. It also states, okay, in 34, 11, 14, it says, the animals shall meet up with the hyenas. Indeed, there the Lilith settles to find herself a resting place. And that's the only time in the Bible.
Huh.
And that is in 34, 11, 14, which is also part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Okay. Another thing that in 34, 11, 15 is the mention of the word kipas.
What's that mean?
Kipas in 34, 11, 15 is another word that only shows up one time in the Bible. Okay. And that term usually means the great owl or the snake.
That's interesting.
So it's kind of in conjunction with the Lilith. They talk about the kipas as either the same thing or Lilith and the kipas hang out together. And that is also found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, is where the original translation of that came from. But in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they don't use the term Lilith. They use the term Liliths as if...
There's multiple.
Yeah. You know, even though it says the Lilith or the Liliths, and like you said, it only mentions it once in the Bible. In some other Bibles, like we said earlier, that their translations are different. They don't per se say the word Lilith. They would use terms like the night creature, or like in the King James or the English Standard Version now, they refer to her as the night bird.
Oh, interesting. So,
yeah. Or like we mentioned earlier, the King James Version saying her as a screeching owl.
In the Talmud, the Hebrew word meaning study, it's a compilation of legal discussions, tales of great rabbis, and meditations on Bible passages. So they reference her in what the intellectuals had thought about her. And they were saying that she is depicted with very long hair and wings. The images of her also reinforce the impressions of her as a succubus, which is a demon in female form who has sex with men while they're sleeping. Unwholesome sexual practices are linked to Lilith as she embodies the demon lover myth. It also references that people shouldn't sleep alone at night because she will come in and slay them. And that there was a period of 130 years between the death of Abel and the birth of Seth that the Talmud reports a distraught Adam separates himself from Eve. During that time, he becomes the father of ghosts and male demons and females or night demons. And those who try to construct the Tower of Babel are turned to ape spirits, devils, and night demons. The female night demon is Lilith.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm. And she's known as a lot of different demons in a lot of different parables. So it kind of makes you wonder, is she just a reincarnation of a lot of the old Greek demons, or is she one by herself?
Not sure. She's mentioned in so many different ancient texts in different areas too, like the, you know, Babylon and such. It's interesting. They say until the 7th century, Lilith was known as a dangerous embodiment of dark feminine powers. But in the Middle Ages, however, the Babylonian she-demon took on a new and even more sinister characters. Sometime prior to the year 1000, the alphabet of Ben Sira was introduced Lilith as destructive. She could fly. She has an appetite for sex. And the tale adds a new twist that she was Adam's first wife before Eve, who boldly leaves Eden because she is treated as a man's inferior. So, like, you know, if God created Adam and Lilith equally, and then Adam didn't want to be treated equally, the tale is she left the garden and got as far away as she could.
Yeah. Cast out as a demon and then made them that. Now, a lot of the stories also say that she was the serpent, because a lot of times you come up with her name, you know, like, okay, we were talking about Isaiah 34:11. Well, let's go to 15, where they mention the kipas. That translates as the great owl or the serpent, the great snake. And a lot of people say that Lilith was actually the snake in the Garden of Eden that tempted Adam and Eve.
And also, as we were reading, you know, through some of this information, in the Gilgamesh and Isaiah episodes, Lilith flees to desert spaces. In the alphabet of Ben-Shira, her destination was the Red Sea.
Okay.
So you're talking all over kind of the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
It's also saying that the ancient Israelites achieved freedom from the Pharaoh at the Red Sea. So Lilith gains independence from Adam by going there, and so did the Israelites, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Lilith is the one who leaves, she felt angry and rejected. And then it says, the Almighty tells Adam that if Lilith fails to return, 100 of her children must die each day. So apparently, Lilith is not only a child-murdering witch, but she's also amazingly fertile mother. And so in a way, she helps maintain the balance of, like, life and death, or good and evil, or yin and yang.
Well, if you think about it too, though, in Isaiah 34:11-13, I mentioned earlier, it talks about the destruction of the kingdom of Edom. The kingdom of Edom, is that the kingdom of Adam?
Could be.
You know, is that where Adam and Eve, where the Garden of Eden is? Because they talk about the destruction of the kingdom of Eden.
You know, you just wonder, like, was this a real person that they just, you know, made these stories about? Is this an actual deity or entity? Mm-hmm. Is this a parable of trying to explain where humans came from, and just another thing to try to keep women down?
Well, a lot of people say that this was brought up as a parable to explain a lot of human things, such as miscarriages, babies dying. You know, it says that she ran through the woods stealing children, killing children, and killing the unborn. Also, being like a succubus and attacking men as they sleep.
Mm-hmm. She's going to come to you in your sleep, so you're going to get attacked. He's like, bring it on. So there's another mention of Lilith in an ancient text called the Zohar, which elaborates on the earlier account of Lilith's birth in Eden. It is a Hebrew Kabbalic text, basically, compiled in Spain in the 1200s using the earlier source, the Kabbalists, who are members of the late medieval school of mystical thought. The Zohar's mystical interpretation of the Torah is considered sacred. The Lilith of the Zohar depends on the reading of Genesis 1:27, which we mentioned. So it also kind of suggests that the human being was first a single androgynous creature, and then it split into the male and the female. It says that the female portion of the human being was attached on the side, so God placed Adam into a deep slumber and sawed her off from him and adorned her like a bride and brought her to him. This detached portion is the original Lilith, who, with him, Adam, conceived from him. Another passage indicates that as soon as Eve is created, Lilith sees herself as a rival clinging to Adam, and so she runs away.
Oh, okay. That I've never heard that version before. So God created the man with her attached to him and then sawed her off.
Basically.
Yeah.
There's another passage that goes on to say that Lilith hovers unsuspectingly over victims, inspiring their lust, conceives their children, and then infects them with disease. Adam is one of her victims, for he fathers many spirits and demons through the force of impurity which he has absorbed from Lilith. Promiscuity of Lilith will continue to the day that God destroys all evil spirits. Lilith even attempts to seduce King Solomon when she comes as disguised as the Queen of Sheba. When the Israelite king spies her hairy legs, he realizes she's a beastly imposter.
Oh, see? See?
Yes.
Like girls in wintertime.
Sasquatch.
I didn't realize that, you know, she came out around that many times. And, okay, you think about this, too. Adam and Eve were the first couple. First humans, mm-hmm. you know, first human life forms or whatever. And how many generations would it take to the point where she is visiting King Solomon? But being a demon, she doesn't never dies either.
And yeah, I was going to say, there's no lifespan, right? Yeah. They just exist.
Yeah.
So she could take many forms. She could reincarnate. We don't know, mm-hmm. you know. It's interesting because they were saying, you know, Adam is man, but Lilith was a god or a deity or a succubus, right?
Yeah.
So why isn't Adam?
I think because she was cast out.
Yeah.
God cast her out and made her into a demon.
Oh. There you go. Trying to keep women down again. So in the Zohar's final invocation concerning the Lilith myth is to partner her with a male personification of evil, which is either named Samuel or Asdemodorus.
Asdemodorus?
Sure.
Okay.
He is associated with Satan, the serpent, and the leader of the fallen angels. Lilith and Samael? Something like that. Form an unholy alliance and embody the dark negative sphere of all the depraved. In one of many stories, Samael and Lilith, God is concerned that the couple will produce a huge demonic brood and overwhelm the earth with evil. Samael is therefore castrated, and Lilith satisfies her passions by dallying with other men and causing nocturnal emissions, which she uses then to become pregnant. So basically, it's probably just a fairy tale or a parable for people to explain why they get erections in the night.
I guess. I don't know.
I just don't get it.
Is that a song?
I don't know. I don't know. In the Chronicles of Narnia that was written in the 50s, C.S. Lewis invoked the Lilith image by creating the White Witch, which is one of the most sinister characters in the imaginary world. As the daughter of Lilith, the White Witch is determined to kill the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve. She poses as a perpetual freeze on Narnia, which is always in winter but never Christmas. It's interesting that they, you know, modern people are incorporating her into their world. And then, you know, there's the resurgence of, you know, people being interested in Lilith because mm-hmm. of the Lilith Fair. That's kind of like a Lollapalooza, but yeah. with all female artists. That's been going on for probably 10-15 years yeah. now.
You know, you see the Lilith character come up in all kinds of animated series type, I don't know if you call them cartoons or movies, but it's funny because they always portray her in the skimpy little sexy outfits and everything mm-hmm. with bat wings.
Yeah, artists, there's another, you know, like just over sexualization of women. Jerks. But, you know, there's still to this day, there's people who, you know, are writing poetry and things from the female vantage point as through the eyes of Lilith. You know, you guys probably can go out and Google that. Interesting different interpretations about her. You know, like her being, like you said, this winged creature who, you know, flies through the night. And I don't know. Do you think that anybody's, like, ever tried to conjure her?
Yeah,
or,
I'm sure. And it's funny
some evidence
because
of
we always say never
her being around.
Yeah. It's funny. We always say that we don't want to speak the names of the demons,
mm-hmm.
but people talk about her all the time.
Yeah.
So, like we said before, though, is she a demon or a deity or whatever? We don't know. But it seems like every time you bring up her name, usually the first thing that I've noticed is people say that, well, she was Adam's first wife. But it only in the Bible, it only brings up her name one time, and it doesn't never mention. It never mentions her as being Adam's wife. It's just when, you know, Genesis was typed up, or I keep saying typed up.
Because they had typewriters back in the hundreds.
But, you know, like I said, in Genesis, it was wrote by two different people. And, you know, one person says, like we mentioned many times in this show, is God created man and woman at the same time. And the other person says that they created Adam first and then brought him the wife. But I didn't even know about in the Zohan, you know, you mentioning about how the procedure of him, of God creating the man, as in the human, mm-hmm. you know, with her attached to him and then cut her off, sawed her off of him. And
Sawzall. Got a Sawzall out from the garage.
You can cut anything with a Sawzall.
Speaking of cutting things with a Sawzall, Joe, you have some really cool Bigfoot cutouts,
yes,
too, you're trying to sell.
Got seven of them done, or I have, I keep saying got, but I have seven of them done.
I got.
Yeah, and I'll be posting them on Facebook. I have some pictures of them, but
if you guys are looking for a really cool gift, there's a cool Bigfoot cutout.
Yeah, I wanted to get them done before Christmas, but I just didn't get them done. And I got a few done, but I didn't advertise them.
Well, advertised now.
Yep. If you're looking for a Bigfoot cutout and you're within the Toledo area, where you can either, I'll drive halfway to you or something, keep an eye on Facebook. I'm going to post them up there. If you want to meet me halfway, throw me $5 for gas or something, you know, but, you know, we'll work something out.
Definitely.
I have seven of them done right now. The weather's supposed to be nice for the next few days, so I'm going to try to cut out some more. Just like cutting the wife off of Adam, I'm going to cut out some Bigfoots, get them painted up for you, and they'll be ready. But they're 7 foot tall, so they're full size.
That's interesting. Put them in your backyard and people think they'll see a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You need to get a Lilith cut out now. But what would it look like?
A sexy female in a bikini with giant wings?
There you go. But, yeah, just interesting, you know.
But, yeah, it's kind of odd that even me, you know, I was looking for a topic for this week's show, and Lilith came up. And then you were saying how, just out of the blue, the same thing came up to you a few times this week.
Yeah, it's just interesting. So it's weird because, you know, like, in the modern time, it seems like women have tried to change that perception, mm-hmm. that she's a demon and negative, and you know, and that she's more of like the protector of women and children, which it could have been.
Now,
but, you know, so many versions of writings and things have been changed by popes and different leaders, mm-hmm. mostly men. They've been trying to keep us women down for 8,000 years, right? But
there's some, I don't remember the culture. For some reason, the Dutch came up, but I don't think it's that. But there is like a reinsurgence of her, you know, being the spokeswoman.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I always like to learn about like different and unique characters and things. It's kind of related to the paranormal. I mean,
it's where the paranormal comes from.
Yeah, strange and unusual, like us.
Speaking about strange and unusual, great segue. So I wanted to mention, before we let you go, about a listener, one of our faithful listeners, Sarah. She's got a GoFundMe page going, and she asked if I would mention it on the show. And it's kind of interesting. She's trying to raise money to buy a hearse.
That is so cool.
And she wants to turn it into the Ghostbusters car. And what is it? The Ectomobile.
Mm-hmm.
And basically to turn into the Ectomobile and go around to special events to bring out awareness of the paranormal and basically to become like a goodwill ambassador for her town.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I checked out her Facebook page, and she's pretty cool. She makes all these dream catchers that she's also selling. And they're pretty cool. And I wanted to mention about her. Her name is Sarah Panetta, P TANETTA. She's just super cool. And like I said, she's got this fundraiser going on.
And she listens to the show. She's so we a listener, appreciate that.
And I want to say hi to Sarah. And thank you for tuning in. I hope she does raise money. And hope she does raise money to make her Ghostbuster mobile so that she can bring happiness and joy to her whole village or town or wherever she lives.
And she can come to paranormal conventions with it and just let us drive it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, Sarah, if you make your goal and you make the Ecto-mobile, you must let Joan Jen drive around in it.
Well, just take us for a ride. That's
Pennsylvania.
We'll cruise around the town. Looking for some ghosts.
Go to her Facebook page. Her name is Sarah. And I'll spell her last name. It's PANETTA. Check it out and good luck.
Yeah, we'll put a link up on our page.
Yeah, she wants to do things like trunk and treat and stuff like that with
that's
it.
That's cool.
So that's our Babel Fest for this week. I want to thank
Babylonian
everyone.
Babylonian Fest.
Yeah, literally from Babylonia. Anyhow, thanks for tuning in this week. And remember, please share the show with all your friends. And I'd like to say today's show is also brought to you by Seven Little Cupcakes.
In Perrysburg, Ohio. Go get your cupcakes, specialty cakes, ghost cakes, Bigfoot cutouts, cakes. And we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
We did hear that the owner will guarantee any of our listeners a giant Bigfoot cake for free if you tell them you listen to our show. No, don't do that.
We're just kidding.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace out.